Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Nourish and Flourish, a handcrafted, independent publication taking readers on a journey from the soil to the stars. Subscribe today at nourishandflourish.site.
This week on Meet and Three, we're ringing in the start of our fifth season with dispatches from Portland, Oregon's biggest food festival, Feast Portland. We're bringing you words of wisdom on launching a food business from food blogs.
Most acquaintances from high school have now tried to start a food or fashion blog in some sense and quit very quickly afterwards.
To ice cream shops.
Every city you go to, the salt and straw is completely different than any other city.
We'll bring you insights and anecdotes about the business of the business.
We were like, cool, we're going to do this. We're going to try to raise $75,000 and we'll see what happens. And it was like the most gut-wrenching, miserable month.
Tune in to Meet and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Elena Santigade. On today's show, we're going to profile Vermont Creamery and talk specifically about their B Corp business certification. But first, what are certified B Corporations? B Corps, for short. According to the B Corp website, B Corps are businesses that meet the highest standards of verified social and environmental performance, public transparency, and legal accountability to balance profit and purpose. B Corp certification doesn't just evaluate a product or a service. It assesses the overall positive impact of the company that stands behind it. B Corp certification is the only certification that measures a company's entire social and environmental performance. The B Impact Assessment evaluates how a company's operations and business model impacts its workers, community, environment, and customers. So, it's a lot to talk about. And let's get back to Vermont Creamery. B Corp certified in 2014, Vermont Creamery has been ranked one of the best places to work in Vermont by Vermont Business Magazine. Vermont Creamery is a subsidiary of Minnesota-based Land O'Lakes, Inc., and has maintained their B Corp certification through the change in ownership. My guest today is Adeline Drouart, president of Vermont Creamery. Adeline, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
Thank you for having me, Elena.
Of course. So what does it mean that Vermont Creamery is a B Corp? What are the components of your B Corp status? Because I think it's true that different companies kind of do different things to become a B Corp. Is that right?
Right. That's correct. I would say for Vermont Creamery, B Corp is a validation of who we are as a business and what we stand for. So, you know, we've been in business for 35 years. We were started by Bob Reese and Allison Hooper, two incredible, pioneer in the artisan cheese industry.
Big time.
Big time, right? That wanted to make sure that they bring European-style-inspired dairy product to the American consumers and also doing that in the right way. So we were founded with, you know, a very strong mission. And, you know, been spending the past 35 years, I will say, perfecting our craft as a cheesemaker and also as business leaders. So when it came, I think it was 2014, we were starting to see, greenwashing taking place or, other brands and businesses, starting to be more vocal about what they stand for. We felt, wow, we've been doing that all along. Right. Why don't we bring that to the next level, and this is when we got introduced to the team at B-Lab. Mm-hmm. Alison had heard about the B-Corp certification, and I recall being at a seminar that Ben and Jerry and B-Lab was given in Burlington, Vermont, uh-huh. and we felt like, wow, this is for us. This is exactly what we need. And let's we knew it would be a rigorous assessment, and we may not may not be ready at the first round, but mm-hmm. we did it mm-hmm. and passed in the first month of us going through the assessments, and that was validating our past and also what we've done for the past 3 decades.
Wow. So right, you mentioned Ben and Jerry's, a big Vermont company that does a lot of social and environmental stuff. And it's neat to think that I didn't realize they were also a B Corp, but it totally makes sense to me. So you said within a month of the assessment, you got the B Corp certification. How long had you been kind of considering it? How much time had passed between going to that talk by Ben and Jerry's and actually passing the assessment, getting the certification?
I think it was, we thought about it for maybe a month.
Wow.
And then we worked on the assessment for a month, mm-hmm. And then achieved the certification. So it was pretty fast.
Wow.
And again, it was the perfect fit for us mm-hmm. from what the B-Lab organization was standing for, which is using businesses as a force for good. So mm-hmm. not only to compete to be, best in the world, but more important is to be best for the world. And so we felt mm-hmm. like, okay, this is just perfect, aligned with our value. And then it was honestly getting in front of a computer and taking the survey, answering hundreds of questions, mm-hmm. making sure that we have the backup documentation, the metrics, the tracking device in place. And mm-hmm. then the minimum score that you need to meet to get certified is 80, and we passed at 80.1. So right
but
on
you
the
passed.
Dot. But we passed, and then that gave us an opportunity to have a really strong roadmap for the years to come on where we will focus our time and resources and energy.
So would you say that once you had sort of done that assessment, set up those metrics and sort of the tracking tools that you mentioned, was that sort of a built-in vision in a way? Or you said roadmap. I mean, was it almost a built-in action plan for more of that kind of work that you wanted to be doing? Or were you already kind of on pace to continue and grow these other parts of your business?
I would say it created a structure. The assessment is broken down into four pillars. First, it looks at your governance, how you're structured, how you lead as a business, your corporate accountability, your ethics, your transparency.
Hmm. And does like human resources and benefits come into play there?
Yes, and also in the second pillar, which is workers.
So
this is here where you look at compensation and wages. For example, one question is what percentage above the living wage is your starting wage? It looks at the benefits, education and training, and so on and so forth. The third pillar is around communities. How do you impact the community around you with job creation, with diversity and inclusion?
Mm-hmm.
How involved are you in local nonprofits, so on and so forth? And also in here there is a big component around supply chain, and which is part of your business community. And then the fourth pillar, very important one as well, is the environment. Your input, your output, and your carbon footprint, and all that good stuff.
Wow, those are wonderful pillars. Those are like those are strong pillars for business. It's interesting because I think a lot of traditional business models would stop at maybe governance and workers, maybe, and kind of have those be the two pillars. But you can sort of see the strength in focusing on all four of those things. Would you say that there's one area of that where you felt, as you were doing the assessment initially, oh, we have a lot more we could do, or where you saw opportunities even just in the questions that were being asked? I mean, that the one you mentioned about the, you know, percentage of the average worker's wage versus the top earner in the company, that's such a compelling number to think about. And I think that a lot of people would maybe aren't thinking about that so often within the day-to-day of their business. Were there any elements like that that really kind of made you have aha moments as you did that first assessment?
Yeah, that's a good question. The governance, you know, it was important for us to make sure, you know, we are open book managed company. We have a high level of transparency on how we run the business and the why of the business, all the way to finance, you know, educating our team on the financial performances, down to, you know, what gross profit margin means, you know, what is our electrical bill, and so on and so forth. Yeah. So governance is important. It's almost like the foundation. You have to have the right structure to lead a business in the right way.
Right.
Similar to, for example, a co-op model, which we are now owned by Land O'Lakes, and their governance is we're owned by farmers, which is a very important, you know, way to run a business and an impactful one as well. The workers, I guess, will be the next in line, because before you can help your community, you got to make sure that the people that work in your business are well taken care of.
Right. Like if you're sort of overlooking what's right in front of you, how much could you really contribute outside of your own walls in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then the community, making sure that that you have an impact. It's an obligation, I believe, as a business to impact, to have a positive impact in the world that surrounds ourselves. And then the environment, with this pillar, it was really helping us to focus on, you know, on what is the most pressing challenges we want to tackle, or opportunity that we want to go after, you know, because if you think about it, it's like, okay, how can we help with solving climate change?
Right.
That can be very daunting.
Right.
And so, you know, with this, it puts us in a great framework to, okay, first let's focus on our waste within the creamery, then let's focus on water reduction, and, you know, let's be a good stewardship of the land right here between our four walls before we expand more broadly.
And were there any, were those specifics, you know, again, on that note, like as you're doing the assessment, were there really specific questions about how you were interacting with the physical land, since you are working with animals and you know, there is waste in cheese making, and were there criteria for that, or was that something that you had to sort of define more specifically?
There is some criteria, and at the same time, the assessment is done in a way that it can be applied to any kind of industries, including even services. So it's about the inputs and outputs, and also committing to a reduction goal.
Ah, I see. So as part of the assessment, there's actually a commitment that you make to continue to improve some of those numbers?
Yes. Yes. Mm. And the assessment itself changes every 3 years.
Ah, that was my next question. So they reassess you every 3 years, or the entire assessment kind of gets an overhaul every 3 years?
So we get reassessed every 3 years, and the assessment is getting updated. So the next one we're going to take, it's going to be harder.
Yeah.
And which is great, because that means within the assessment there is a value of continuous improvement that is drilled in there.
Right. Right. And did your initial one. Have you already done a second one?
Yes. Our first one was in, we took the assessment in 2013.
I see. Okay.
And became certified in 2014. So our score was 80.1 then. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, it was 85.2.
Oh, great.
And then in 2017 is the last time we took it. Mm-hmm. We got to 88.5. So we are making progresses every time.
Right.
And it takes commitment and focus. That's very, otherwise you could be decertified the next time.
Right, right. It doesn't, every 3 years is pretty frequent. Did that, in that stretch where you had taken it sort of 2 years in a row, was that of your own sort of voluntary taking it again just to get an even better score?
No, that's they used to take stress tests every 2 years.
I see,
so
okay.
It's mandatory, yeah.
I see, great. And how many people are involved in working with the assessment, sort of really understanding what's a part of the certification and dialing that into your goals and operations? Can you tell us a little bit about how that plays out in reality in terms of actually answering the questions and then building that into what you're doing?
Sure. It's like culture. Mission and culture is not the responsibility of one department.
Mm-hmm.
Like culture, it's not just the HR department.
Right.
Same thing as mission. We have to make sure, in order for us to continue to live and breathe the mission of the business, it has to be everyone's responsibility.
Mm.
So part of our business strategy is to include culture and mission in every single departmental goal. So, for example, our director of operation is also accountable for our mission and our culture, such as our director of finance. So everybody not only is involved but is accountable for making sure we deliver on our mission and our culture. In addition, who does the groundwork? Back to your question, we have someone at Vermont Creamery. Her name is Eliza mm-hmm. Leeper, and she's a very talented individual that joined us a couple years ago, and she's our mission manager.
Right. I was wondering if it was her, if she's the one filling it out. I saw her title, and I thought, aha.
Yes.
This might be the person who's really in there. When you mentioned that each department was responsible for building those components, the mission and the culture of the organization, these like big level, like almost sometimes nebulous things into their actual department goals, does that mean that they set goals that relate directly to what the mission and the culture, like how those are defined by the company?
Sure. I'm going to give you an example, a recent example. We transitioned, we transitioned to a new look and feel mm-hmm. on packaging with an updated logo and also new graphics. And what we wanted to make sure we do is not only we clean up a little bit our brand and our look, but we also bring on a mission component in that transition.
Mm.
So the marketing team was tasked to look at not only pretty packaging, but also packaging that has better substrates, greener substrates. So they were tasked with this team, with this mission, I would say, and challenge. They work with the R&D team to find suppliers of plastic cups that has less plastic and more paper wrap,
right.
And then work with the operation team and supply chain team to make sure we can source them, we can use them. So you can see quickly how, waste challenges is embedded into a project that really, work across all function of the business.
Yeah, and it really, back to that thing you said sort of at the top of the show about how the difference between really walking the walk and more of a greenwashing kind of like, oh yeah, we believe in these things. But at the end of the day, there's a version of it where a company says, oh yeah, we have all these beliefs and values, but we're always going to just go with the cheapest option or the prettiest option because that's how we're assessing our projects. Whereas you're adding this whole other component, which is one of these, meets also this idea of these pillars of what a B Corp certification really is.
Yeah. We have a say at Vermont Creamery, if it's easy, we probably won't do it. It's in everything we do. I mean, we make cheese, you know, out of goat's milk with wrinkles on it.
Right. So, very tricky.
Right there.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, it's time for a quick break, but we'll be back in a moment with more about Vermont Creamery and B Corp business.
This episode is brought to you by Nourish and Flourish, a handcrafted, independent publication taking readers on a journey from the soil to the stars. Nourish and Flourish showcases thought-provoking stories from around the world and stunning photography. Each issue explores emerging trends in food, nutrition, recipes, soil health, technology, regenerative agriculture, travel, and more. Volume 1 of Nourish and Flourish includes features on the Svalbard Global Seed Bank, the International Symposium on Bread, and ancient Hawaiian aquaculture. Are you interested in eating healthier and learning more about where your food comes from and living a more connected life? Subscribe today at nourishandflourish.site. For $29.99, you'll receive 3 issues. That's 38% off the retail price. Nourish and Flourish. Connecting readers with the people and stories that make a difference in living a more balanced, healthier life. Subscribe today or find a retailer near you at nourishandflourish.site.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm Elena Santigade, and I'm here with Adeline Durart, president of Vermont Creamery. So, Adeline, you mentioned, we both, I think, mentioned that in 2017, Vermont Creamery was sold to Lando Lakes. And I learned actually from your mission manager, Eliza, who we mentioned before, that a company actually has to recertify if ownership changes hands to demonstrate that the business practices remain worthy of the certification. So I was wondering how that has gone. Did anything change in the way that you did the assessment once the sale happened? Or also, I'm wondering if you felt that the B Corp status was part of what made Vermont Creamery an attractive acquisition for Lando Lakes. How did you navigate the B Corp status around that moment?
That's a really good question. When we were meeting and presenting Vermont Creamery in front of potential buyers and suitors, B Corp was really front and center to the story we were telling. Not only that we make great product and have built over, you know, the 35 years of reputation in the specialty industry for the portfolio, the product we make, the care we have, but we also wanted to make sure there is a clear explanation of what we stand for as a business, because that was crucial to picking the right partner, but also building a long-standing success story after the business was acquired. So it was front and center to the conversation, which I would say was very well received from Lando Lakes. They were very intrigued by the B Corp certification, and also aligned with the value that Lando Lakes believe and have, which is it's a co-op, so it's owned by farmers. It has multiple division within the organization that align with the B Corp values, such as they have a sustained division that is focusing on providing tools to reduce the input and maximize the output on land and water conservation and land health, I would say. There is also Lando Lakes Foundation that is about giving back to the local communities, and Lando Lakes Venture 37, which is about international development and providing aid, agriculture aid in foreign countries. So the B Corp notion was not shocking, neither misaligned with what Lando Lakes stands for and believe in.
Yeah.
So it was pretty straightforward conversation. And what this certification did is really help us to create, again, this roadmap and framework about what we can do as a business and are willing to do and what we don't want to do. Hmm. And so that's actually been very helpful. And I will say for business owner that are looking to transition ownership over time, mm-hmm. that can really be a great tool to make sure there is guardrails for the future of the mission.
Right. And also to almost as a way to have the conversation about values and operations in such a way that you're feeling good. If you're doing a succession plan and you want your legacy to continue, it makes a lot of sense to me that this is sort of built into the foundation of the business.
Absolutely.
Hmm. So my next question is actually about your experience personally. I'm wondering, you know, if your personal experience as an employee changed at all when Vermont Creamery became a B Corp. You know, you spoke about the fact that Vermont Creamery was really doing a lot of these things and operating in this sort of B Corp sort of way, even if unofficially, until the certification happened. But was there a shift at all in your experience in your day-to-day world as an employee?
Not really. Not really. Because it was really about validating who we are and what we do and what we stand for. You know, we did at that time then up our maternity and paternity leave. We created, benefits. Also, we created an e-team, which is an engagement team. So couple things, but I will say overall, our core value remains the same, the way we behave and what we care for. It hasn't changed much.
Yeah.
What it did, it helped us to put a framework also on our communication to the outside world, to customer, to consumer. You know, there is so much, I would say, do-good washing and greenwashing, and it's heavily marketed. We felt it was important for us to say, hey, we are the real deal, and by the way, we've been at it for 35 years.
Right. You mentioned that there's an e-team, your engagement team. That sounds intriguing to me. What does that team do exactly?
Oh, it's how to create fun at Vermont Creamery. They're in charge of the fun factor.
Hmm.
How to continue to engage our team into the mission. We have volunteer hours where we go to the Vermont Food Bank, which is literally across the street from us. So organizing this. Also waste reduction. We do a water walkthrough. So it's organizing all the culture and mission initiatives that are, I would say, in the day-to-day with the frontline workers at the Creamery.
Is that team made up of people from all different departments with all different types of jobs? Is it more
Absolutely.
Like a little cohort? Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And how big is that team?
It flex. It depends. I think there is probably a dozen core individuals, and whoever can sometime get off the packaging line or can take a break from cheese making, join. But we have a core team, and then we have members coming in and out depending on their schedule.
Got it. Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. I love that they're responsible for the fun factor. So
we are all.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true. They just get to actually, implement some fun sounding ideas, I guess.
And bring ideas. That's the most important one. Yeah.
So thinking a little bit about the future, I'm curious, you know, what challenges you're looking to tackle right now, if you're able to share any specifics in terms of your plans to get up into the 90s of that assessment. Is there anything specific that you're focusing on right now around any of those four pillars?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have decided that this year will be 2019, will be the year where we think long term. We really build the foundation for what is the way we're going to enhance our mission and embed this goal into everything we do at the Vermont Creamery, and not only think about our impact for next year, mm-hmm. but really push ourselves to think 5 to 8 years down the road. Mm. You know, we know where we're going to be 5 years from now. At least we have a plan to get there. Right. We want to make sure that we also make clear, focused commitments to what is the impact we're going to have 5 years from now. So 2019 is about building the long-term strategy. It's not going to change the pillar that we want to focus on, which is our employees, the planet, our farmers, and our community. But what are the key initiatives we want to really work on for the next couple of years? Because we're a small business, mm-hmm. and we are cheesemakers, and so we can't do it all.
Right.
But I think so. That's exciting, and then we plan on releasing our updated mission strategy at the beginning of next year.
Oh, exciting! Okay, well, we will keep our eyes out, keep a lookout for it. You've mentioned a couple of times, the longevity that you've had at Vermont Creamery, over 30 years of business. And it's really pretty recently that you've become officially a B Corp business. And I know that the B Labs has not been around for that long either. But do you think companies, in your opinion, do you think companies have to be a certain size or already have to be pretty established or have a lot of financial success before embarking on the B Corp certification?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Actually, it's much harder for mid-sized to large businesses to become certified because it requires a lot of agility and commitment to those specific area. I do not recall the specific metrics, but I recall that over half, if not three-quarter, of B Corp certified businesses are family-owned small businesses. Mm-hmm. So they make up the majority of the B Corp right now. There is 3,000 B Corps around the world, mm-hmm. and half of them, 1,550, are in between Canada and USA.
Wow, that's incredible. And do you, for our listeners who are getting excited about maybe going in this direction with their own businesses or looking for businesses to maybe contribute to who are B Corp minded, do you know of any resources? I mean, it sounds like that event you went to with Ben and Jerry's was a real inspiration moment, was like an eye-opening moment of like, oh, here's this certification that basically just puts a stamp on everything we're already doing and we really believe in. Do you know if there are opportunities like that for other folks to hear about B Corp businesses or, attend any kind of events in person?
Yeah. What I would suggest is reach out to, go on the bcorporation.net, mm-hmm. it's the B Lab website. You can search B Corp businesses by region, by industry, and find your community of B Corp businesses. I bet there is one within your state. Vermont alone has over 30 B Corp certified businesses.
Wow, that's amazing.
Right? And so find another business and reach out to them. It's a small community with people that are eager to help bring on more businesses into the B Corp movement. And you look at cheese alone, we have Cabot Creamery that is also B Corp certified. Mm-hmm. Rogue Creamery that is B Corp certified, we want more businesses to join this movement because this is the way of the future.
Yeah, totally. Well, that was a real call to action there. I love it. So we've been, of course, talking about a cheese-making company, Vermont Creamery, but we haven't talked about cheese much this episode. So I have one final question for you, and it's sort of a silly one, but I feel like we have to just set the B Corp, set our B Corp hats aside. And I'm curious, what is the most recent cheese that you have cooked with?
Cooked?
Yeah.
I ate half of a bambush for lunch.
That sounds great.
I didn't cook.
You didn't cook, but that was that counts as something.
Yes, yes.
Well, normally I do ask people what's the last cheese they ate. So I decided to switch it up because I was cooking with cheese yesterday, and I thought, oh, let's see what people do with cheese. But with a bambush, there's no cooking needed.
No cooking needed. Just plain cracker, and you're good to go.
What's your favorite drink pairing with a bambush?
I'm a French 75 type of girl.
Oh, very good. I like that combo a lot. Adeline, thank you so much for joining me on air today.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a great day.
Thanks. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can learn more about B Corporations at bcorporation.net, as Adeline mentioned. And if you're considering applying for B Corp certification, we would love to hear about it. You can contact us on Twitter and Instagram at Cutting the Curd, or shoot us an email at cuttingthecurd@heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd. Cutting the Curd is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.